It's the book of Genesis tonight. We've dealt a little bit with Elijah today. I want to deal with another famous character in the Old Testament. His name's Joseph. Amen. Preach a lot about Joseph. He's a great character of Christ, type of Christ. Amen. The Bible's turned to Genesis 37. We appreciate you allowing us to come down and be a part of this Sunday. Amen. It is our privilege. Amen. Always a joy to be here in fellowship with brothers and sisters down here. It's a great place to come. Amen. And I appreciate it. Amen. Thank God for your friendship. Amen. I know we are miles apart. Amen. But when we get together, it seems like we've been together all the time. Amen. I like it. Amen. I like being around people of like faith, and just you don't have to worry about walking on eggshells. Just be who you are. Amen. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. Appreciate that. Andrew's always taking care of my boys when they're down here. Amen. I'm going to have to try to get them to stop filing them on their taxes, though. Amen. I'm taking my money. Amen. I can't have that. Amen. Now, we appreciate it. Always take care of them. Our boys enjoy coming down here, so we thank you for everything. Amen. You're like family to us. And I pray that we've been a blessing while we're here. Amen. So take Genesis 37. Look in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." The Bible said, "These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph, being 17 years old." That's a young boy. "Was feeding the flock with his brethren." I got to stop and say this, amen. You probably wouldn't find that much in a 17-year-old these days doing any kind of work around the house, would you, amen? If that offended you, I didn't say it, amen. "He's feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the son of Belhi and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Somebody says snitches get stitches. Y'all ever heard that? But you know what? It wouldn't be a bad idea sometimes to let on when evil's out there. It'd take some boldness to stand up in the midst of your peers and say, "You know what, there's people I'm hanging around that are doing things that just ain't right."
That's right.
It might save their lives from a lot of trouble.
Sure.
If somebody would just stand up and be the one to say, "You know what, I know they're going to hate me and maybe going to talk about me, but this is going to be good in the end. It'll help their lives. They're heading in the wrong way."
Yeah.
And Joseph was that kind of man. He stood up. A young boy, 17-year-old boy. His brothers were doing things that God knows wasn't right. And Joseph went and told. I'm telling you, it'd be good if you'd tell.
Sure.
"Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream." Well, Joseph was the dreamer. If you ask these kids tonight, I'd say, "Who's the dreamer in the Bible?" Everybody say, "Joseph is the dreamer." The boy had some dreams. The Bible said, "And Joseph dreamed a dream," verse 5, "and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, 'Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaf in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf.' And his brethren said to him, 'Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?' And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me.' And he told it to his father, And to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. Let us pray tonight. Brother Graham, would you pray for us, brother? Joseph, as I've said, is known as the dreamer. The Bible said in this chapter in verse number 19, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. This dreamer cometh. Dreams was one of the ways in which God spoke to those characters in the Old Testament before the completion of the Bible. Many times God would reveal things to people through dreams as he did with Joseph. I mean, you find the examples over in the New Testament where the wise men were given a dream to not to return the same way they came down. It was Joseph that was given a dream to take Mary to be his wife. It was one of the ways that God ministered to people in that time. Amen. Thank God we've got a Bible and we don't need a dream tonight. But spiritually tonight, we do need some people with dreams. And dreams and desires to do great things for God. As a 17-year-old boy, God had showed Joseph that he would use him to do great things. Amen. Hey, God had came and revealed to this boy that one day, I'm going to use you mightily. Ain't it amazing that God still comes to young people and says, hey, I'm going to do something great with your life. I want to use you to accomplish great things for me. I want to use you to get glory through your life, to bring glory and honor to my Father which is in heaven. Hey, God's still looking for people with dreams to do great things for him. We need more dreamers today. We need more people that want to do great things for God. You know what dreams will do if you get some dreams in your heart? A desire to do something great for God, a little bit of direction from the Lord. Hey, a dream will give you some purpose. Hey, a lot of people ain't got no purpose, amen. Hey, that God has put something on your heart, though, through a service, through reading your Bible, through your own prayer life. Hey, through the counsel of wise counsel of others, amen. Hey, God's beginning to mold your life to give you purpose, a reason for living, amen. Hey, why are we here, amen? Hey, God, dreams will give you a purpose for living. Hey, dreams will give you peace in your heart. Hey, a lot of people ain't got no peace, and you're kind of wondering what's going on, up and down like a yo-yo, amen. Hey, when you begin to get some direction and discernment from the Lord, what God's going to use you and direct and mold your life, hey, dreams will give you peace. Dreams will give you plans. What kind of plans you got? I want to run around the room tonight as anybody 17 years and say old or around that range and say, hey, what kind of plans you got in life? Where are you heading? What kind of direction do you got? Maybe you say, well, I got some kind of plans to go to college and do this and do that. And, hey, rightfully so, some of that thing's needed in people's lives to accomplish things in this whole world. But I'm talking about spiritually tonight. What kind of desires and dreams and plans do you have for God? Hey, are you working all the plans that you got out around God, or are you working God out around your plans? Hey, Joseph had dreams, amen, and he had a purpose for living, and it was to glorify the Lord and allow the Lord to use his life, and it gave him peace and plans for the future. Amen. Hey, dreams will give you power. Hey, and what they got for power, man, to know that God's breathing on your life and going to use you to do something for him. Amen. It's not a pea you necessarily like, amen, but if you go along with the peas, hey, dreams can bring persecution your way. I believe that's why a lot of people shy away from dreams and ambitions for the Lord. The Bible said that Joseph dreamed a dream in verse 5 and he told it his brother and they hated him yet the more. Down in verse 10, he said it again, and they hated him yet the more, amen. Hey, his dreams brought persecution to him. It was Joseph a little bit later on in chapter 37 when he went down to check on his brother, and as his father had told him, hey, that they put him down in a pit, amen, hey, to sell him eventually out. Ultimately, they wanted to kill the boy, amen. Hey, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, we know the Bible said, shall suffer persecution. But, hey, dreams will bring persecution your way. Hey, people hate dreamers. Especially carnal people. Carnal people hate people that are involved with the work of God. And they love to run their mouth and talk about them, amen. But here's a boy we find
with a dream. Hey, we find a boy on top of the world, amen, with a desire to be used of the Lord. Hey, God has come to this boy and revealed to him dreams of what he would do in his life. And we look a little bit further on what goes on. Down in chapter 37 and verse 24, the Bible says this is what happened. He dreamed a dream. He's got a purpose. He's got a desire to use his life for the Lord. He's got peace. He's got plans. He's got power. Hey, man, he's on top of the world. And hey, God's going to use me. God spoke to my heart. God, I've laid something down on the altar. And hey, here's my life, God. Hey, raise me up to be a great lady, to marry a right man and serve the Lord and be faithful in my life. Hey, everything's going right in the boy's life. He's got dreams. He's got desires. He's got a purpose for living. Talking to young people tonight, amen. I know I've seen you in youth camps and been around you enough. And some of you have made commitments to the Lord. And God, I'm laying down my life for you. Here I am for your purpose and your plan. You've spoken to me. This is what I want to do. I've got great desires and a dream to be used of the Lord. What God could do with my life. And Joseph was that type of man. Verse number 24, the Bible said, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph's coat out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. Here's a boy that goes down there to check on his brethren. Had a 17 years of age. He's got a dream. He's got on top of the world and everything's going good. And his brothers see him coming and said, behold, here come the dreamer. Let's destroy him. Let's take him out. Let's get him. Just do away with him. He's a talent. He tells on us. He's going to go back to the father. Let him know we're not where we should be. And they throw him down in a pit. He's deceived by his brothers at 17 years of age. In chapter 39, if you go over to verse number 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. You know how he was delivered from being killed but sold into slavery. And he goes down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. That was the people that his brothers sold him unto, which brought him down thither. Here's a boy with dreams, and now his life begins to crumble right up from under him. He is deceived by his brothers, and now he's made a slave down in Egypt. He's down there in Egypt, but here's this boy. He's got dreams, and he's got a desire to serve the Lord. And it seems like everything's being swept out from under him. His brothers deceive him. His brothers throw him in a pit. His brothers sold him down to the Midianites, amen. And they take him down there, the Ishmaelites. And then they sell him out to Potiphar and make him a slave to Potiphar. And go down a little bit further in chapter 39, in verse 17, it only gets worse. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou brought unto us came in hither to mock me. You know the story. Hey, he's down there at Potiphar's house. His wife's trying to get to force him to lay with her. And he runs out and leaves the coat, but he don't lose his character. You know the old story. He runs away, but she said, hey, you brought this old Hebrew down here, and he's trying to force me. He's trying to abuse me. Hey, what are you thinking, bringing this boy down here? Now he's down there as a slave out of the pit. Now he's down in the prison house. Hey, man, he's been thrown upside down in his life. But he's a boy with a dream. Now his dreams are beginning to shatter. 17 years old, he's deceived by his brothers after his dream. Sold to made a slave down to Egypt at the age of 18. He's lied on by Potiphar's wife and put down in the prison as a 21-year-old boy down in verse number 20 of chapter number 39. Hey, everything seems to be going wrong. Within 3 years of Joseph's life, his dreams has become a living nightmare. Hey, the great purpose and plan and power and peace, hey, seems to be shattered on the outside of the world. A man would dream and now it's going away. I'm going to preach to you on this thought tonight. When your dreams become a living nightmare. When it seems like everything's right and your life's where it ought to be and you got direction and discernment and a reason for serving God. But then everything begins to crumble out from under you and you begin to live a light nightmare. And your dreams begin to drift. What do you do when your dreams become a nightmare? Let me show you some things out of Joseph's life that I believe can be a help to all of us. Look in Genesis chapter number 39. Number one tonight, I want to say when your dreams, I hope you got some dreams tonight. If you don't have some dreams, and some direction and a purpose for living, you need to get on an altar and say, God, begin to mold my life and give me something, a reason for living. Hey, but if you've had them and it seems like things have begun to crumble around you, maybe peer pressure's brought them in, maybe some of your own choices, or maybe the influence of others like it was in Joseph's life. Hey, let me say tonight, number one, when your dreams become a living nightmare, stay clean. Stay clean, amen. Hey, nobody ever said this thing was going to be easy. Nobody ever said that it was going to sail smooth on the sea of life, amen. There's going to be storms that arise out of nowhere. Hey, the darkness is going to come over you sometimes. Do you think there's never going to be another daylight? Hey, how can I come out from under it? I'm telling you now, when you get in that shape, but you know God's giving you a dream, and you're living the nightmare, stay clean with God, amen. Here's Joseph, a man with dreams, amen. You know what he did? He stayed clean. We just spoke about it just a moment ago a little bit. When Joseph got down to Egypt, it could have easily went the way of the world. He's in Egypt. Nobody knows me in Egypt. Nobody knows what's going on down here. Hey, my father's not around. Hey, my brother's already done me wrong. So what's the use anyhow? People at the church has lied on me. Hey, people's rubbed me down and told stuff that wasn't true. Why didn't I just go out there and make it true? You know what happens, amen, when your dreams become a living nightmare? Hey, the devil will try to tempt you to go the way of the world. Hey, you know what I see in Joseph's life? Even though it was a nightmare, it seemed, to the world, and everything was crumbling around him, that boy stayed clean. He wasn't giving in the ways of Egypt. He wasn't going to lay with Potiphar's wife. He wasn't going to destroy his walk with God. He stayed clean no matter what. Nobody tried to force on him. You know what we got in our young generation? I've seen it, amen. Hey, they go through these little... Preacher was talking about it this morning, amen. I'm telling you, you get to that age, and you get out of high school, and you maybe start getting into college or seeking careers, and you get out there away from the comfort of everybody, and the pressure starts coming in, because they're outnumbering you. We're now inside here, we are the majority. But when you get out there, they're the majority. And why is it when our young people get out there, but they got dreams? You've heard them testify of their dreams. We've heard them talk about what God's put on their heart and brag about it at their meetings, amen, and testify about what God's put on their heart. But then the life of the dream becomes a nightmare. You know what happens? They cave into the filth of this world.
Right.
Joseph didn't cave in, amen. Egypt wasn't going to influence him. He wasn't going to allow the world to pull him his way. He's going to try to pull the world God's way, amen.
Yeah.
Stay clean. It's easy to give in when you're out there in this whole world. But it's right to stay right with God. Joseph fled from his sin. Hey, 1 Corinthians 6:18, 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, 2 Timothy 2:2. The Bible speaks of that word flee, flee, flee. You're going to have to run sometimes. You're going to have to get away as fast as you can. Here's Joseph. That girl's coming to him every day, trying to influence him. She's whispering in his ear. You know, I hate to tell bad testimonies of things that just don't go out right, but just some things just don't go out right, you know? You know one of the ways the devil will do it? He'll just whisper a little something in your ear.
Yeah.
And you know what happens most of the time, and glory be to God, they're our kind of people. When they hear it the first time, you're crazy. Get away from me. And rightfully so, that's what you ought to do. Get away from me. Don't come around with that mess. But here's what happens. The devil don't quit. Now that seed's been planted and somebody's whispered something in your ear, maybe give you that look that you maybe thought was that look or probably was that look. And now you're alone and you're sitting in your bedroom at night and you're thinking about what somebody said. But when it came to you the first time, amen, some of you girls, you ought to learn like your mama did to tell you, hey, you ought to maybe punch that boy right in the mouth. That's all right, ain't it, amen? I mean, somebody tried to talk to my little girl, I'd say, punch him in the mouth. You do it so I don't have to do it, right? Hey, but you know what happens, amen? Hey, you get at home and you get to double thinking that thing. And the flesh starts rising up. And you start meditating on some of that stuff. Where at first you said no, but now you're thinking maybe it will be alright. Maybe nobody will know. And the devil keeps just throwing the little seed in there, trying to influence you. Hey, Joseph said, no, I got a dream, man. Hey, God's put something on my heart, and I'm going to settle it out with the filth in this world. Hey, the Bible says flee fornication. The Bible says flee adultery, idolatry. The Bible says flee the love of money. The Bible says flee youthful lust, amen. Hey, you're going to have to be like Joseph, amen. Don't, when the dream becomes a living nightmare, stay clean with God, amen. Don't give in to the filth of this world. Hey, you know what God's looking for? God's still looking for vessels of honor.
Sure, amen.
That's what He's looking for. Hold your place here and look in verse 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hey, I'm telling you, amen, when your dreams become a living nightmare, you better stay clean.
Don't you give into this old filthy world. It'll pull you away from God. Hey, some of you may be being tempted tonight. Maybe somebody else whispered something your way. Hey, maybe your eyes have been on something ought not to have been on. Maybe your ears have been influenced by things that are not right. Amen. Hey, you better stay away from it. Don't lose your dream God gave you. Even though it might seem like you're in a nightmare. Joseph's far away from home, but he's not giving in. He stayed clean. The Bible says God's looking for vessels of honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19, the Bible says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Thank God He does. "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He said, depart from iniquity. You name the name of Christ, that's what we ought to be doing. The Bible says in verse 20, "But in a great house," this is sad, "there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor." Do you know what? Even in the house of a household of God, people that are saved, there are people that's the vessels of honor, some are vessels of dishonor. Saved people.
Yeah, that's right.
Now that ain't God's will. Some people would say, well, they got to be lost. The Bible says there's vessels of honor in a good house and vessels of dishonor. They're son of wood and earth. Amen. There's some people just worldly. They're saved, but it ain't God's will for them to be like that, but that's what they are. You know what the Bible says in verse 21? "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work." Hey, God's looking for a clean vessel. A vessel that He can call out and say, now it's your time. Now it's your time to do something. Hey, but God can't call you out if you're full of filth. Amen. Hey, you're going to blow your dreams by giving into the filth of this world. Hey, don't sell out your dream when you're out there in a nightmare. Stay clean with God. Amen. God might be raising you up to do great things with your life. That's what He's looking for, man. Hey, Preacher Tick talked about it this morning, about praying for a pastor. You know what God's doing? Hey, God's waiting for the right man to raise up at the right time. Hey, to waiting on God and being prepared for God's work, amen. And just as God's looking for a man to pull the pulpit as a pastor, God's looking for young people to stand up and say, hey, I've got a dream. Yes, it might seem like I'm living a nightmare, but I'm going to stick to God and stay clean just like Joseph did, amen. When your dreams seem to be a living nightmare, stay clean. Number two, could I say this? Hey, never complain. You know what we're living in? We are complaining people, ain't we? I said, we are complaining people. We get half a chance, we're going to bellyache our problems. We ain't much different than the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. You talking about a complaining bunch? About drove Moses stark crazy. Always grumbling and complaining. Listen, let me just throw this out there while I'm pitching, amen. If you're going to be a grumbler, don't go sharing it with the preacher right before he gets in the pulpit. Give him a little bit of time and a break and at least hit him after it's all done on Sunday and let him go home with it, amen. Hey, but we are complaining people. Do you know what you never find out of Joseph? He never opened his mouth. That boy never complained. He's a great type of Christ. The Bible said that Christ opened not his mouth. Do you know what I found? That thing convicts my heart so much. Hey, that Jesus, amen, was not treated fairly. If anybody was treated wrong, it was God. Amen. You know what He did? He never opened His mouth. God help us, amen. When you got a dream, amen. Hey, and you're living a nightmare, don't get to complaining. Hey, whether he was in the pit, whether he was at Potiphar's house as a slave, whether he was in the prison, one thing you never found that boy doing was complaining. He was never grumbling. He was saying, woe is me. What happened to my life? Hey, no, that boy just kept his face like a flint. Hey, God's given me a dream, and I'm not going to give in to the ways of the world, and I'm not going to give in to complaining, amen. God help us, amen. I grumble and complain. Woe is me.
Yeah,
I mean, look at Joseph. Look in chapter 50 when it was all said and done. Here's what the boy said. Gives you a little insight of his mentality, why he was going through what he was going through. Hey, what a great verse here. Genesis 50 verse 20. This is after Joseph's daddy's dead. And his brother's thinking, Joseph's going to get us now. And the Bible says in verse 20, the Bible says, but as for you, but Joseph's talking to his brothers here. You thought evil against me. He said, I know what you did to me. I wasn't done when you threw me in that pit. I knew what was going on. I knew you didn't like me. I know you hated my dreams. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good.
Yeah.
You know what Joseph had committed through his life? Whether he was in that pit, he said, God put me in the pit.
That's a hard pill to swallow right there, man. Hey, that boy's down there as a slave at Potiphar's house trying to make the best of his life. That boy's got a dream, man. He's got something God's going to do in his life, but it's becoming a nightmare. And he's down at Potiphar's house just making the best of it, doing a slave job. And that old girl begins to lie on him. Hey, man, he's put down to prison, and he's saying, boy, I don't know how you're doing, God, but I know you're working out. That's Romans 8:28 in life right there, amen. Hey, you meant it in the evil, but God meant it in the good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Hey, man, he saved the world from starvation, amen. Hey, because he didn't lose his dream. He didn't give in to complaining. Hey, you know what our problem is? We hold on to grudges. A cracked congregation this size, man, I'm sure there's somebody in here that hates somebody for something they've done to them. I don't know. I ain't got to be told. I do not know. But I'm a pastor. I know how it works. Somebody has said something to one of your youngins. Somebody's looked at you the wrong way. Somebody posted something on social media against you. Somebody, you know, somebody told somebody else about what you was doing, and you're holding a grudge. You know what that grudge is going to do? It's going to evaporate your dream. It's going to get you to sidetrack from what God has called you to do in your life. And you can't teach that class the way you should. And you can't sing with the power of God like you should. And you can't do the things of God around the church like you should. Why? Because you're holding on to grudges in your heart. You get that way against the man of God. And I don't care what he gets up behind this pulpit and says, you ain't going to like it. Because maybe he said something one day was against your life, your family. You know what you find with Joseph? Here's a guy that's got a dream, but he's living a nightmare, but he stayed clean. He never complained. Man, I like this. Number three, he kept ministering to others. Man, here's a guy that's been done wrong, lied on, thrown down, but he kept ministering. Hey, can I say this? Don't let the hurt from others cause you to shut up yourself from others. You know how many people shut up? I ain't going to get hurt again. That ain't going to do you no good or nobody else. God didn't put you down here to shut up yourself. Well, I'll just go home and take my ball and won't play with nobody. That's about the way we act, like a two-year-old kid. That's what a two-year-old kid does, don't I? I take my ball and I ain't coming back. My mom and daddy bought it for me. And some of us adults act like that, amen. Hey, you know what? Hey, whatever happened to the ministry that you used to have in your heart? The servanthood of serving others and being there for others. But I've been hurt, preacher. Somebody done me wrong. What did they do to Joseph? But Joseph said, I've got a dream, man. Hey, God's going to use me, and I'm not going to sell it out because somebody's done me wrong. Right. Hey, kept ministering to others. Here's a boy that had dreams, and he's down there in the pit. He's down there in the prison, excuse me. And he's down there locked up for the wrong reason. You know how it works. And the butler and the baker got through into prison. And one day the butler and the baker had a dream. Go home and check it out. Some of you know the story. They had a dream. Joseph knew what a dream was about. And when they start talking about their dreams, Joseph heard them talking about a dream. Joseph said, man, I know about dreams. You know what Joseph said? I can interpret your dream. You know what he could have did? He could have got over there and said, you know what, last time I had a dream, what it done to me? Yeah. And you think I'm going to help somebody else now that they having a dream?
Come on now, man.
That's the way we work, ain't it? Hey, man, you know how it done to me? I sold out my life to the work of God, and this is what I get in return? I'll just quit. Joseph said, no, amen. I can help you with your dream. And he went to those boys and ministered in their dream. And then they're supposed to go tell Pharaoh, and they didn't do it. They lied on him and didn't go do what they should have done. Maybe they got preoccupied. I don't know what happened. Of course, one of them got killed. He couldn't tell no how. Amen. But they got up there, and they come a day, Joseph had a dream. And because that boy kept ministering to others when he had been done wrong, hey, God opened up the door eventually to get him out and make him stack and rule of the kingdom. He had a dream, but he didn't sell it out.
Right.
He never stopped ministering to others.
Man, right.
How many people in our churches have shut up and stopped ministering? Why? But I had a dream, and I know God was going to use me. Yes, He will.
Sure.
Amen, that don't mean you might have to go through some heartaches first. Maybe it's the heartaches that's going to prepare you to get you where you need to be that you really don't know how to get there.
Amen,
Corinthians said something about that we might be able to comfort those that are in any affliction because we've been comforted ourselves. What did he do for the butler and the baker? He revealed the dreams. He kept ministering to others. Let me say this, number four. When your dreams become a living nightmare, what did Joseph do? He never lost the fact that God was with him.
Amen.
You know how we get sometimes, God, where are you at? I can't see you. I can't feel you. Seems like I'm empty. It's dark. I mean, how do you think he felt down the bottom of that pit? You think something don't start playing with your mind? Now, according to Joseph, what he said, this man was a man of mighty faith. But a lot of times we ain't like Joseph, are we? He knew God was always with him. Look in Genesis 39, look in verse number 2. The Bible says this. They brought him down there to make his slave at Potiphar's house. And the Bible said in verse 2 of chapter 39, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. Now you see that? The Lord was with him. Down in verse number 3, the Bible said, and his master saw that the Lord was with him.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, you never know that it might be the hardships and the shaking up in your life that God's trying to use to get a hold of somebody else.
Yeah.
I know a preacher friend of mine. Some people wouldn't even call him a preacher. Had a wife run out and leave him. He just serving the Lord, trying to do right, and she run off. And he said that during that time was one of the darkest times in his life. You know, a preacher said he's working out at the mill and pastoring, trying to do what God had called him to do as a preacher. He said, there are times I got up on top of that old mill, that old plant. He said, I seen her coming into work out there talking to that boy that she'd run off with him on. He said, I thought several times I'd like to take a rifle and shoot him. He said, preacher, I wouldn't do that. You ain't ever walked in his shoes. You don't know how dark it gets and how much it hurts. But you know what he said? He said, I didn't know what was going on. He said, but I've been trying to witness to my old daddy. He didn't want nothing to do with God. He said, but I just kept plugging on, trying to do right. And he said, I didn't know it at the time, but my daddy was watching every move I was making while I was going through that situation with that divorce. And he said, it was through that hardship that I kept on plugging for God and kept serving God, that God used that to get a hold of his daddy to show him his need to be saved. Hey, you never know what God will put you through to try to answer one of the prayers you got going on in your life. Hey, to try to get somebody to come to the Lord and be saved themselves. It was the Philippian jailer example where Paul and Silas is down in the prison. Amen. They could have been grumbling and complaining, but they kept praising God. And the jailer got saved by their testimony. No complaining. Kept ministering to others, trying to witness to others and having a jailhouse revival. And God got a hold of others around them. You know what Joseph knew? He always knew God was with him. Down in verse number 21 of chapter 39, but the Lord was with Joseph. Chapter 39 and verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. You know what Joseph knew? No matter what I'm going through, God's still with me. That's Hebrews 13. Amen. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me, so that I may boldly say the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hey, God said I'll stick it out with you. Everybody else might be turning their back on you, but God said, I didn't give you a dream to throw you in a pit and be done with you. I didn't give you a dream to put you down in a prison to throw you away. I gave you a dream because I was going to use you. What do you do when your dreams become a living nightmare? Stay clean. Stop complaining and trust God and realize He's gone nowhere. He kept ministering to others. Because what did He ultimately do? Look in chapter 41 and verse 46. What do you do when your dreams become a living nightmare? Verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old. Remember when he had his dream, he was 17. 17. God had put something on his heart. And after that dream, it seemed like the rug was slipped out from under him. It was one storm after another. Carnal people hated him. Wicked people lied on him. Just this continual slide down the slide. Verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. At the age of 30, 13 years after his dream, God's brought it to pass. From the pit at 17 years of age to a Potiphar's house as a slave at 18 years old. 2 years later, as a 21-year-old man, he's down in the prison. And for 10 years, he spends his life down in that prison ministering to others.
And at the age of 30, God said, boy, now it's time to bring your dream to pass. This is your time. And God pulled him up out of that old pit in that prison. Made him second in command to Pharaoh. Because he never lost his dream. You know what we got? We got a lot of people losing their dream. And they're throwing it in for the filth of this world. They're sitting back and they're throwing in the towel, and all you hear them do is complain. I'm not ministering, I'm not helping nobody. If I knew this is the way it was going to be, I'd have never got involved. What'd you expect it to be? Do you expect the world and carnal people to lie down and let you serve God? Do you expect your flesh to get in line? I mean, it's wicked as hell. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It ain't for you, amen. It's against you. But there's a God in heaven that gave you a dream. And He spoke to your heart. You know He did. And you laid it down on the altar and said, God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm telling you tonight, it might seem like it's a nightmare, but keep plugging, amen. Don't lose your dream. Don't give into the world. Hey, don't get into complaining. Keep ministering to others. Because God's going to bring your dream to pass. There's going to come a day that God, you trust it. You listen to me tonight. God's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do. He cannot lie. God give you a dream? I'm talking to people that God's giving you a dream. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? You going to throw it away? Or are you going to keep plugging until God fulfills it? Joseph never lost his dream. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.